Most people know us for corporate video work, but we also work on documentaries. And we're going to talk more about that right after this. Welcome back. I'm Kathy Taylor, and I'm here with Josh Lawhorn, our director and editor. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Kathy. It's our first podcast.
I was saying, this is kind of fun. We just kicked Bill out, so it's, you know. But it's because we're going to talk about documentaries today, and Josh is our resident documentarian, I think was the word that Bill has used before.
Yeah, filmmaker, documentarian.
Filmmaker. Yeah. And I'm really excited to talk about this because a lot of people know us for corporate video, but they don't realize that we have done documentary work. And then I also feel like there's this misconception, really, before I was in this world, to understand that, like people think of documentaries as maybe like this super long hour, 2 hour, in-depth investigative kind of thing that you might see on like Netflix. But there's in the real world, there's actually a lot of different ways to do documentaries of different lengths and different subjects. So why don't you talk a little bit about you know, how you see documentary, like, did you grow up watching documentaries? Was that a big part of you wanting to, you know, get into video?
Well, I grew up watching films, and mm-hmm. I was always fascinated by films, and I would sit there and I'd think, how do they do that? You know, I just thought they set up a camera and all the action happened in front of it. I didn't realize there was cutting and whatnot. But as I got older, yeah, I saw some Ken Burns documentaries, and I mean, think about, like, you were talking about, you just had this preconceived notion that documentaries were supposed to be an hour, hour and a half long.
Yeah.
But look at PBS, you know, they'll do a half hour documentary. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's whatever fills the time slot. And most stories don't need to be, you know, told over 90 minutes, 2 hours, you know. So, yeah, like you were saying, we are known for corporate work, but we in the summer of, I think it was 2021, we got contacted by the Old Brooklyn Community Development Corporation by Jeff Respe. He was the president at the time. And he had found out about this English oak tree that was planted behind Ford's, James Ford's, what is it, James Rhodes High School?
Rhodes High School.
Yeah, Rhodes High School.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was planted there by Jesse Owens. When Jesse Owens went to Berlin in 1936 for the Olympics, he won 4 Olympic gold medals, and he received 4 English oak saplings as symbols of his gold medals. He brought them back to the United States and planted them in significant areas. One was at Ohio State. One was at his mom's house. One was at East Tech, where he went to high school. And then one was at Rhodes, where he took the bus to train. So Jeff from Old Brooklyn Community Development Corporation found out about this tree. It was the last surviving tree, and he knew that he had to do something about this. So he contacted Holden Arboretum, and they actually grafted portions of the older tree onto newer English oak trees, and they've been planting them around the city. So he kind of wanted to do like a quick YouTube explainer video documenting this story. And when I found out about it, I was like, this is Jesse Owens. We can't just throw this on YouTube. Like, this is a bigger story than that. And I feel like if we make this into at least a mini doc, then we could submit this to some film festivals. Wealthy donors go to film festivals. Maybe we could get, you know, some wealthy donors to donate to the cause. And that film actually had some great success. It we entered it into the Chagrin Documentary Film Festival. It won there, Best Local Short. And then we entered it into the Cleveland International Film Festival. And it received the first, it was the first short film that showed in its own panel, in its own block. So there was most of the cast of characters that were in the film did a brief panel after the showing of the film. And yeah, it was pretty exciting.
It was really fun. I mean, on many levels for me, you know, I really hadn't done, you know, documentary work. And so it was fun to go through that process and learn about, you know, the knowledge that you brought with the film festivals and how we should go about putting this together and how we should go about promoting it and entering it into festivals. And then also just like my grandfather went to school with Jesse Owens, but it's not like they were Biffs or anything, yeah. but they were in the school at the same time. And I ran track, so like I always knew about Jesse Owens, but this was such an untold Cleveland story that really deserved like wider attention. And I think doing a documentary, a little mini doc, because it was about 16 minutes. You know, really was the right choice. So, you know, that's one example of one we've done. So let's talk about maybe how we put that together, like what it involves. So we kind of had to figure out, you know, who we were going to interview and how we were going to tell this story.
Yeah. So I think Jeff did kind of most of the heavy lifting because we knew we were going to interview him. He was our contact at the Old Brooklyn Community Development Corporation. And then he got in contact with Jesse Owens' cousin, Tyrone Owens, who actually was a track coach and I think gym teacher at Rhodes. So that's kind of like a strange, bizarre happening. We interviewed a couple historians. One was Virginia Williams, and she could speak about the time period, like how what African Americans were experiencing during that time period. And then we also interviewed John Grabowski, who was a sports historian. And then we interviewed Caroline Tate from the Holden Arboretum. She's, I believe, the vice president, and she spoke on like the, she was a botanist. So she spoke on like, you know, the intricacies of grafting and was the subject matter expert on that. And then we also interviewed Eric Gordon from the Cleveland Municipal School District. So we had that Cleveland connection. We had a couple of Cleveland connections and then we kind of told the sports side of it. And then we told the botany side of it.
So all these different people, you know, provided different context for the documentary. And then we got different B-roll too at Holden Arboretum of the trees. And we got B-roll of the aging tree, the last remaining tree that was, that died shortly after.
I think we found out that it died the week that I finished it.
It was like right after.
It was holding on for us.
It was. And so, you know, thank goodness we got that. So, so through all of that, you know, you were really able to create a story out of all that footage in like 60 minutes. That, you know, really was powerful and they're still using, you know, I think it's possibly going to be in another festival or.
So I think Jeff is working with the school district to kind of use it as a teaching tool for students that are coming up. Because not only does it address, you know, Jesse Owens and African American history in the early 20th century, but also it serves a scientific purpose because it teaches children about grafting and
and their local area
and their local
But I think this is something like he wants to continue to use to promote this because he'd love to see trees grafted, you know, elsewhere too.
There was talk about you know, getting some of the trees planted in significant
areas to Jesse Owens.
Not to Jesse Owens, but to like for the country.
Did you want to talk about the other documentary we just finished up and attended the film festival?
We also did another documentary about this Israeli artist. He's from Tel Aviv. His name is Dede Band-Aid. And he was conscripted in the military because military service is required in Israel because of all the threats that they're facing. And after he got out of the military, he was suffering from PTSD. So he was doodling in his notebook and he just kept doodling this Band-Aid. And he thought that it was very powerful. So he would sneak out at night and he'd draw Band-Aids all over Tel Aviv. He drew thousands of Band-Aids. And he became known as the Band-Aid guy. No one knows who he is. He's anonymous. He covers his face. And so because of the buzz, you know, he felt empowered to do it, and he was doing it because these Band-Aids were helping him heal from his PTSD, and he wanted to help the world heal because everyone needs a Band-Aid.
Don't we all?
Don't we all?
But that really gained a lot of attention even overseas here in Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah. So the Cleveland Israel Arts Connection found out about Day-Day, and they brought him here, and they had a photo shoot where they introduced, they brought in 14 Cleveland locally known artists, and Day-Day covered them in like life-size Band-Aids, and then they took photos. They printed those photos out life-size, and then they glued them up around significant areas in the city, and it caught a lot of traction. The Cleveland Israel Arts Connection, they really wanted to, they bring artists from Israel, and they really want to show Cleveland how awesome these Israel artists are. So Day-Day was just one of them that they brought, and they documented it.
So that one was put together a little bit differently. Like for Jesse Owens, we had to get B-roll, and we had to get the interviews, and it took us, you know, months to capture.
It took us a year. About a year of production.
So we had to get the tree planting and all these different things. Mm-hmm. But can you talk about how this one came together a little differently?
Most of the footage was already shot, and they had two audio interviews, one of Day-Day, one of his girlfriend Nitzan, who's kind of like, she runs the administrative work for him, but also she's an artist. So they're kind of a package deal. So we already had all that, and I was going through the footage, and we only had about a month to put it together before we had to submit it to this festival that they wanted it to be in. They were very adamant about it being in Chagrin. So we were kind of on a bit of a time crunch. And as I was going through the footage and going through the audio interview, I was like, this doesn't really tell the full story. We need to interview some of the people from the Cleveland Israel Arts Connection. So we got those interviews fairly quickly. And then I had to go and capture just a tiny bit of B-roll of Nitzan had a mural that she, Nitzan is Day-Day's girlfriend, that she had erected in, on Coventry. So I had to capture that as well. And then we turned that documentary over in a month. It was crazy, but it worked out really well.
Well, and what is even crazier is all this happened before, you know, all the recent events with, you know, the war in Israel.
Yeah.
And so when we went and actually saw this, it was, you know, the energy in the room was very intense. And
yeah.
I feel like it brought a whole different meaning to the documentary even.
You know, like
more power.
I would say it's even crazier than that because it debuted Sunday, the day after the attacks in Israel. So, yeah, we just went and seen it at another film festival. But, like, I mean, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing because it does kind of bring attention to Israel. But Israel has more than enough attention on itself right now.
I think it was just, for me, like, it, you know, we do so many videos and, you know, we usually hand them off to companies and they put them online and, you know, we can't see the people's reactions mm-hmm. when they're watching them. But when we go to film festivals, you know, we can feel that energy in the room. We can hear people's responses. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, just in light of just the current events, like just feeling all of that in the room surrounding like art with, you know, the documentary up on the screen was very powerful. And so I think that's just something that's a little bit different than like your average corporate video that makes documentaries special.
Yeah. You get that instantaneous reaction. It's mm-hmm. nice. It's nice. And it's more often than not positive. It's very rewarding. That's the thing about films, you know, I think they're a little bit more rewarding than just, not that corporate videos aren't rewarding, but like you said, you don't get that immediate reaction.
And I think you get that maybe more because it's really telling a story. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to tell a story with all of our videos, but I feel like with documentaries, it's even stronger.
Well, stories are key. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's our human. It's what makes us human. We tell stories. You could get a flashy coffee video, you know, or a flashy Coke video, and it looks cool, but what story does it tell? Oh, fizzly bubbles? Oh, warm, hot coffee. You know, it's like,
No, you don't see that.
You don't see that. Yeah. It's stories are important to us. It's what makes us care about what we're looking at, what we're listening to.
Yeah.
It's why we tune into podcasts. It's why we listen to the radio. It's why we watch TV.
Yeah, it really captivates an audience. And I think that that's a tool that, you know, nonprofit organizations or just any organization that really has a cause that they're trying to draw attention to can really benefit from doing a documentary. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge thing, you know, like we gave examples of videos that were really the same length, but you know, one took a longer period of time than another. And it's just something that I think, you know, people can start thinking about. Maybe, hey, maybe my organization can benefit from capturing our story in a mini doc or, you know, documentary format, to really, you know, draw some more attention to what I care about. Cause I know there's other people that care about it too.
Yeah, so I guess like if there's an organization out there or someone who's watching this, if you see this and you say, hey, I have a story that I think is pretty interesting, maybe reach out to us at flexmediacle.com and kind of pitch your idea to us and we could help you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your story. We love working on documentaries. And if you have any questions, like Josh said, please reach out and we look forward to hearing about your story.
Thanks for listening to Watch Time. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And if you want your question answered on our podcast, go to flexmediacle.com/watchtime.